Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of The Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the next hour. Big thanks to Sinead for keeping us company since 2 o'clock. I have got absolutely loads coming up for you on the show, including reaction to Cork Camogie's win over Galway yesterday. I'll be chatting to Steve Mulcahy about women and schoolgirls soccer in Cork. Rory's got a great MMA interview and loads more besides. So without further ado, let's get into it, shall we? Starting with Gaelic Games, where the remaining All-Ireland senior football quarterfinals were down for decision at Croke Park today. First up, Donegal prevailed against Louth, where the final score was Donegal 122 to Louth 18 points. Kerry have beaten Derry in the second game of the day to snatch the last semi-final spot. The full-time score was Kerry 15 points to Derry 10 points. Elsewhere, action continues at the Euros today as the last 16 stage progresses. It's halftime between England and Slovakia, where it is 1-0 to Slovakia. And later this evening, Spain face Georgia. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. To Formula One now, where George Russell collected a surprise first win of the 2024 season for Mercedes at the Austrian Grand Prix this afternoon. A late collision between Max Verstappen and Lando Norris gave Russell the lead, with Oscar Piastri finishing in P2 and the Ferrari of Carlos Sainz taking the third podium position. Finally, in athletics, the Irish National Senior Championships continued from Morton Stadium today. Rashida Adeleke won a national sprint title in the women's 100 metre final. With a time of 11.13 seconds, she obliterated the existing national record and now holds all national sprint records over 100, 200 and 400 metres. Meanwhile, Ballymore Cove AC athlete Sophie O'Sullivan won her first ever outdoor title in the women's 1500 metre final, running a time of just over 4 minutes and 20 seconds. We're going to start off the show this evening by looking back to that Cork senior camogie win against Galway yesterday. The final score in that game was Cork 216 to Galway 17, and it gives the ladies their fifth win in a row, so they are on a fantastic streak at the moment. Dan played some reaction clips from the game on the bench yesterday evening, but he didn't quite have time to let you hear the reaction from the players themselves, so I'm delighted to be able to bring that to you this evening. We're going to be hearing from Laura Tracy, Hannah Looney, Katrina Mackey and Saoirse McCarthy, who were all speaking to Ger McCarthy after their win.
Laura Tracy, fantastic result, fantastic performance. One of Cork's best so far this year?
I think we have been building, to be honest, and I guess when the fixtures went out at the beginning of the year, this would probably have been our target game, you know, really know where we stand then coming out of the group. So really positive performance today, and hopefully it's a step again in the right direction.
Galway really put it up to you there, just coming up towards half time, but the manner in which you responded was very positive and it set the tone for the second half.
Yeah, absolutely, and sure, look, Galway are an unbelievable team, you know, and they were always going to have a really positive patch in some form of in some part of the game. So I guess we knew we had to deal with that, and it kind of came maybe at the right time. We could go in at half time and kind of regroup and come back out again, understand what we're at, and kind of chat it out at half time there. So it probably happened at a nice time of the game for us, but to be fair to the girls on the pitch, we dealt with it, you know, we took the goal, but like you have to give Galway those scores, you know. They are an unbelievable team, so no, look, overall a really positive performance, and again a step in the right direction.
Exactly where you want to be heading into an All-Ireland semi-final. There's plenty of competition for places. That's another theme that we're hearing from each of the players, and something keeps you sharp though, coming up to that.
100%, and I guess, like, you know, each year there's always new young girls coming onto this panel, and the standard is getting higher and higher, I think, in Camogie each year. So us older players probably have to better ourselves as well, you know, because those young girls coming on, they're going to be challenging you every night of training, so it's great. There's huge fight, I guess, to try and make the first 15, not a mind the first 20 that are going to be playing on any given day. So no, it's massively important to the whole setup, I suppose, how training is going, what they bring to training. So no, look, it's brilliant.
Excellent stuff. All the best for the semi-final.
Cheers, Ger.
Anna Looney. Fantastic performance for Cork today. That's the word from the manager, from the players. Full 60 minute plus performance, and it had to be to put away this Galway team.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose we probably haven't seen that from this Cork team in a good few years, a full 60 minutes. To be honest, I think it's coming from the training, because I've never been involved in a setup where it's so competitive, you know. So you have to go out and train like you're playing a match every day. So it's just so competitive, and every girl is driving each other on, and there's a good sense of unity, like we're all doing it in good spirit. So look, it was an outstanding performance today, and I think we have to acknowledge that. But you know, it'll be back to the drawing board all the same. It's only a stepping stone. If we can't replicate it, it'll be no good to us in a couple of weeks.
Hooking, blocking, chasing back, not just from the backs, from the forwards, a real, you know, common thread through today's display.
Yeah, and that's it. I think, as I said, it goes back to training. If you're not putting in, if you're not doing that in training, you're not going to start, or you're not going to be in that top 20, and that's the bottom line. So I think it's just been drilled into us, and we're able to deliver it on the pitch. So just proud of everyone to be able to commit that. And I think, as you said, it's a real strength of this Cork team at the moment. You know, defending so tight, hooking, blocking, getting every tackle, fighting for every ball, and when you do that, the scores will come then, and you'll be able to get on top of teams like we did there. So
as a dual player yourself, Vanitha Healy, are absolutely flying it at the moment. Does it, it obviously helps that the games are every second weekend at the moment, but the extra training doesn't seem to be holding you back at all.
Yeah, no, to be fair, like, this is the time of year that we love, and like, you know, you have the hard training done, and it's kind of nearly just managing your workloads, just chatting to Shane and chatting to Ger and seeing what's best for us week on, week out. And to be honest, for me and Aoife, it's great that we won today, because if we had to face into two quarterfinals next weekend, that would be really, really challenging. So look, we can just take a breather for Camogie this week. We'll still obviously do a bit of training, but you know, and just set ourselves up for next weekend for the football. So
excellent stuff. Best luck on all those.
Thanks a million, Ger. Thanks a million.
Katrina, excellent Cork performance from start to finish, and a real tough physical challenge from Galway today, but that's what you were expecting.
Yeah, sure, anytime we play Galway, they're going to be really tough and very physical. We kind of knew that from the start. I think we probably got a good start, and the important thing then was to kind of maintain that in the second half. I think they came out then in their third quarter, and Tyrone got the goals straight away, so that put us a good few points up, so that kind of set the tone then as well.
Great finish for your goal, soccer style into the back of the net. Is this something we can expect for the rest of the championship?
Yes, yeah, my pre-season soccer training came in handy there. Yeah, sure, it was a great one by Saoirse, yeah. And then just she kind of got the pass off and the keeper kind of came out, so that was kind of just instinctive. Then I just flicked it, so luckily he went in.
This Cork team looks to be at just the right pitch, playing really sharply today. Good physical challenge. Obviously a lot of training has been going in training, but you are where you want to be right now?
Yeah, definitely. Look, this is where you want to be this time of year. I think like during the group games, we're kind of improving each game. I think today was probably our best performance. It was kind of consistent for the 60 minutes, and just everybody just worked like really, really hard for the 60 minutes, and even though the subs came on, it was all about the team. And yeah, we're just delighted.
Yeah, Galway always a physical, always a tough nut to crack, but you put up a good score on them today. But also the work rate, not just by the defenders but by the forwards, not letting Galway start up those breaks from deep in their own half. Really a lot of effort put in by the forwards as well today.
Yeah, definitely. I think we kind of talk about that before every match. It kind of, that defence comes from basically our attack, and if we can put them under pressure, obviously the ball into their forward line then is going to be not as good, and our backs can kind of get the ball then. And Laura obviously picked up a lot of, say, loose ball as well, because we were just putting them under pressure, and they could deliver good quality ball then into us.
Looking forward to another semi-final?
Yeah, definitely, can't wait now. I think we just need to enjoy now today, and we'll get on the road then again for the next few weeks, and yeah, just looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff, well done.
Thanks.
Okay, Saoirse, fantastic performance, great result, and into the All-Ireland semi-finals, exactly where Cork want to be at this time of the year.
Yeah, you know, like, obviously we're trying to work on our own performance week on week, and I think today we upped it again another level, and we're looking forward to the semi-final now in a couple of weeks.
Galway, a very physical challenge, but also put it up to you there. Just come up to half time, they got a goal and a point just through going in. What was said at half time? Because you came out and absolutely blitzed them in the third quarter.
I'm delighted you said that, because we were really working on our third quarter performances. I don't know, I think we just kind of stayed composed, whereas in other years we might have panicked a little bit knowing that they were coming back, but we knew what we were doing was right. I think there was one stage there in the first half we were 7 or 8 points up, and we were comfortable. Obviously every team's going to have a purple patch, it's just how you react to that, and I'm delighted we came out at half time and got that goal straight away, and it kind of settled us.
From start to finish, the hooking, the blocking, the ability to get back in numbers, and also turnover possession, it's obviously something you've been working hard on.
Yeah, I think work rate isn't something that you can work on, you know. It's either it's in you or not, and I feel like this team will work for each other no matter what, so you know, that's a great sign.
You've got a bit of a break now to that All-Ireland semi-final, but an opportunity as well for some injuries to heal up, but also for a chance for you to just, you know, up it again coming into the last four.
Yeah, look, I'll always say that I'd rather play all the games. You know, I don't know, if we lost today, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. It would have been an extra game up in Croke Park. You know, we knew that ourselves, but so glad with the performance and a couple of weeks now to put in a hard graft and get ready for the semi-final of the All-Ireland. And there's nowhere else you'd rather be in the middle of the summer, like, so I don't know, it's great. A win in the park as well is a nice one.
It certainly is. Excellent stuff. Best luck in that semi-final. We'll see you for then.
Thanks a million, Ger.
Now, unfortunately, things haven't been as positive for the Cork senior men's football team, and boss John Cleary spoke to Off the Ball earlier this week about the pressures of being an intercounty manager. The Castlehaven clubman has yet to confirm if he will be back or not for another year with Cork after last week's defeat to Louth. Let's hear now what he had to say.
Sandy Moran in the papers this morning saying that there's too much pressure on GA managers, and that it's too big a talking point of, you know, X team have been knocked out of the championship. What should happen with X manager?
Look, I've been asked to do a job there with the Cork football team, and I do it to the best of my ability. And again, I kind of at times just sit back and say, look, this is my pastime. You know, I've got to go to work. There's a lot of stuff outside it, which I think is ridiculous there, and it goes on. You'd swear, as I said, that we were international managers and that there was lives at stake and things like that. And I think, you know, I've taken a line and a jump out there and try and get very good people around you. Do your level best and see where it takes you. If it succeeds, well and good. If it doesn't, you've done your best. But, you know, the following Monday morning, you've got to go to work as well. But I think definitely it has been, Andy Moran is right, it has been overblown. And the manager, you know, can only go out there and prepare the team as best he can. And come the end of the year, there's going to be one winner and probably 30 losers. And, you know, it's fair, the 30 losers was the manager's fault in every one of them. And those that are involved in it and those that are involved in the group know that that's not the case. And every manager I know, like myself, goes out, gives it 110%. It works out for some, it doesn't work for others. Some have got better quality players than others. Some have got better quality backrooms than others. Some are in football mad counties, others in, you know, it could be the second or third game. In that county, so it is definitely got overblown. But I think, look, that's the way of the world at the moment, and people will talk about it. It's a big topic for one day, they move on to something else the next day, and that's the way of the world at the moment.
Yeah, it is the way of the world, John, but can that be hard? Like, as you said, you have to get up on Monday and go to work just like the players do too. It can be really overblown at times. Can that be hard to manage?
I suppose it can, and if you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And as I said, look, Monday and Tuesday weren't the best days I ever had, but in fairness, got an awful lot of messages of support from people, and from people who you respect, friends, family, and other people like that. And I think a lot of genuine GA people know exactly what you would try to do, and what you're in it for it. And as I said, it's not that there's any monetary gain or anything like that. You know, it's an amateur game. It's the pastime. And look, as I said, in these days of social media and whatnot, it's easy to get on the bandwagon, and it's easy to put things up in tweets or Twitter or whatever people go on to. And but I think there's an awful lot of genuine people out there who appreciate that the work that's been put in and the effort that people make. And as I said, it's definitely not for self-gain. And I think, you know, people just sometimes have just to get a hold of themselves. If I was taking any notice of what everybody around the place was saying about me, I wouldn't last 2 minutes in this job. And I suppose, you know, particularly when you're within the bubble and within the group, I think you shield yourself from there. And otherwise, you know, you wouldn't last at all at this job.
Yeah, some very fair points made there by John Cleary. I'm sure none of us can imagine how the Premier League coaches, for example, would be feeling if they were doing it on a voluntary basis. Moving on, the Ballinora under 15 squad are the latest winners of the Rebel Oak Monthly Award. They recently completed a double Cork Fela win and won the national hurling title last weekend. And their manager, Carl McCoy, told Rory it's an incredible achievement by the players, speaking to him at the award ceremony.
Carl, first off, congratulations on the Rebel Oak Award. It's an incredible achievement in what's been an incredible year so far for your side.
It has, yeah. I suppose we're from a small community club. We have great volunteerism, great backing in our community, and that's the bedrock for where these 24 young guys have come from. And, you know, it helps them along the way in terms of how they work for one another and how they work in the pitch. Yeah. And I think that played out in all of the competitions. We've had mighty games. We've got a spread of scores from all across the field. We're not depending on any one player as such. So there's a great team feel to this group.
Yeah, it's a small bunch as well. Things like 24 panel members you have, which is unsurprising, I suppose, given the size of Ballinora. But if there's not that close bond there, there's going to be no success.
Yeah, true enough. And, you know, there are sets of brothers on the team as well. And there is a very close bond. All of these guys went to school together, which really matters when they're playing. The same 24 players have represented Ballinora and Cork in both Felas now, in the football and the hurling. And I think it's just testament to the way that they approach things. They train hard, they play hard, and they love doing it.
Did you have an inkling this year that this squad was capable of something special?
We knew that they're a good bunch of boys. They put in a lot of effort. We've come across some great teams. But you know, the thing about them is their spirit. Even when it's put up to them, you know you're going to get it back. So that's what we're really proud of, that the interest that they have in both hurling and football is tremendous.
So talk to us about the year you've had so far and the success you've had so far.
Yeah, sure. Look at... you know, it has been a very busy couple of weeks since the start of May. We played in the hurling Fela in Aeroog, and in our own club as well, we hosted some games. That was a tough affair. You know, we came out narrowly, very narrowly against Clidove, a fantastic team also. And, you know, we really enjoyed that day. Similarly, down in Bishopstown in the football a week earlier, we narrowly came through against St. Michael's. So I think it says a lot about underage hurling and football in Cork, that the games were that tight. And when we went on to our national hurling Fela last Saturday, you know, we came up against teams from Kilkenny, from Clare, from Tipperary, and we really knew then what the standards are like in other counties. And, you know, it just says a lot about Cork underage. I think it's in a good place.
The lads are well able to mix it with the lads up front of the country.
Absolutely well able to mix it, yeah. And I suppose you don't get much time to assess and understand what other teams are going to do, so the players have to figure it out themselves on the field. And I think that's a learning curve for them too, and that's fantastic.
I suppose the success as well is a testament to the parents who bring their kids to training every week, who help out at training, and who basically, if they're not there, the kids aren't there.
Yeah, as I said, you know, we come from a very tight-knit community. Parents have offered fantastic support. Club has offered fantastic support. We've a tremendous group of coaches, you know, Francis Tuig, Calner Carey, Harry Ormond, Mark Hegarty, you know, and then we're working with an under-16 group as well, and we've got some more there, Fionnán Coakley. So, you know, we're drawing from players from 14 and 15, and we're also involved in an under-16 group. We've tried something a little bit new this year. We have non-parent coaching involved with our group, and that's been a fantastic addition, because it's a fresh voice. These boys have been around some of us as parents for quite a while, and they're responding to that. And, you know, they're starting to learn themselves about the two games of hurling and football, which is great. Their appetite is huge.
And you have a chance for more success this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, we're looking forward to travelling to Turles. We don't know whether it'll be smiles or tears or what the huge future might hold on that, but I do know one thing. We give it everything, and I know our community will really support us, and they'll be there to cheer us on. It was fantastic in Clare during the week, the homecoming that we got, and I'm sure the same thing will happen this weekend.
And to get the Rebel Oak Award, just kind of, it doesn't really cap it off, but it's a nice honour to get from Rebel Oak.
Yeah, Rebel Oak Hogue have been very supportive for underage games. I think they do a tremendous job. You know, we're in regular contact with them through our secretary, Gina O'Donoghue. You know, we work hard on availability and with all other teams for pitches and games and things like that. They're doing a fantastic job. It's been fantastic to see the sponsors here this evening as well. And, you know, without that little bit of push for our games, you know, it gives the kids and the young boys a big lift. And they're really excited to be here this evening.
Excellent. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And we are sticking with Gaelic Games up until the break here on the Big Red Bench, because the Cork LGFA County League semi-final took place, both semi-finals I should say, took place this afternoon, the first one between Castlehaven and St Val's, and it was Castlehaven who won that game, and Ger McCarthy was there to get the post-match reaction from both sides. Let's hear first from St Val's manager Donald Daly and player Aisling Kelleher.
Okay, Donald Daly, a win for St Val's down here in West Cork over Castlehaven. This team, you're going to be meeting them in the first round of the Senior Football Championship a little later on in the summer, but you're into a County League final. How important is that for the development of this team?
It's very important, because every game is game by game. We're learning on the players that we have. We're trying to build, get better, learn and adapt game by game. We treat every team with respect. It's tough here coming down to Castlehaven here today. We knew we had a tough game and we got it. And no doubt the first round of the championship will be the exact same.
Yeah, it's a very tough championship to win, as you well know, but there's a good spread of scores today as well, and you defended particularly well. Are they the two aspects that you were most pleased with?
Yes. It's trying to get a high tempo game where we defend, and then when we break, then we try to attack, be patient on the ball, and you know, we have to get scores from all six forwards.
It's going to be a very tight championship. You're going to be meeting this team again, as well as a lot of other high quality teams, but is it all about building out a panel now between here and when the championship starts?
Absolutely. It is no longer 50, you know, it is nearly 30 players. Players are injured, away, coming back, fit, not fit, so it is tough going, you know, so it's very hard to predict where we're going to be in 6 weeks' time. We'll keep working.
We don't know who you're playing in the final yet. It's either Clonakilty or Glanmire, and that's going to be decided today, but playing in a final for the younger players, how important is that for their development?
Absolutely. We have been in a final in a league or anything with a while, so again, it's building. Looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Best of luck on that.
Thank you, Ger.
Aisling Kelleher, a really tough match today for a County League semi-final, and you're into a league final. How happy are you, first of all, in that dressing room to get to this point?
Yeah, look, it's great. I suppose we haven't been in a final, a senior league final, in years, and it's great to be back up here competing with, you know, all the senior teams. I suppose it wasn't easy at all. We had to grind it out in the end, and we were lucky there to get that second goal that we got as well, so thank God for that. Yeah, we're delighted, so we'll see now whether it be Clann or Glanmire next.
Yeah, you're missing a few players as well, so are Castlehaven, but games like this for the younger players in the squad, it really brings them on, because at times it was played like a championship game.
Yeah, definitely, and like, you know, I suppose in a championship game you can empty the bench, and we didn't really have that option there now today, but look, it gives us plenty of opportunity to have a competition for places as well. People put up their hand now today, so people who are missing, it'll be harder for them to fill back in then.
You've got Castlehaven in the first round of the championship. No, it's a cliche, there is no easy games at the senior championship, you're well aware of that, but the panel that you're building, considering who's missing today, considering you've reached the league final, that must give you some bit of confidence, even though it's nearly a month away.
Yeah, but like, it's hard to tell with anything, like championships completely different. I suppose we'll be playing them at home, and it'll just be a different game again. I'm sure that they'll bring, you know, a different side, a different attitude as well, because, you know, when it's championship, everything's to play for.
Playing midfield today, lots of running up and down the pitch, does that suit your game?
Yeah, sure. Lots of running, alright. But I know I don't mind where I'm playing once I'm playing, I suppose.
And just finally, again, County League final, we don't know who you're playing yet, as you said, Clann or Glanmire, but the fact is you've got a final to aim for, that will help with the momentum and the build up into that championship.
Yeah, absolutely, just another game, you know, to give us that bit of practice leading into championship, and then we've 4 weeks to go back to ourselves to see what we can work on. I'm sure there will be plenty that we can work on going into championship, so yeah, looking forward to it now. And once it comes around, it's very fast turnover between each game, so we'll just try and work hard now between here and then.
Excellent stuff. Well done, Aisling.
Great, thanks a million.
And apologies, I'll correct myself. It was St Val's, obviously, who prevailed in that match, not Castlehaven, as I mentioned earlier. But we are going to now hear from Castlehaven, from that group, and it is Finbar Santry, their mentor, who was speaking to Ger.
Okay, Finn Barnett, the result you were hoping for here today, but considering the amount of players you had missing and the amount of young players you had out on the pitch, was it a really good workout?
Yeah, I suppose it was a very good workout. Look, I suppose last year was a new experience for us playing senior league. We won a couple of games, we survived this year. We kind of target league was very good for us. Our kind of aim was get to a league semi-final, see where it took us. We got there today. Look, we were the only few players, probably a little bit of an experience, but look, they're the things we have to learn. Look, we've come up so fast and it takes a long time to learn, and you know, that's what it's all about, really, learning and trying to instill that into the girls. But look, yeah, we've made progress, and look, that's the league done, finished. Now we turn our attention to West Cork Senior Championship and into the County Senior Championship, where again, like, we've got the likes of Els, Morton Abbey, Glenmire, all these in our group. So you know, it's a tough group, but that's what you expect when you're up senior. Any team is, you know, when you're up there, you've got to prepare and you've got to be, you know, looking to get up there at the top. It takes a long time, it takes a lot of efforts, and we've learned that from talking to different managers, you know, who've gone up and taken beatings. But look, we're hoping to learn the whole time and steadily improve the whole thing.
Is it all about building out a panel over these years, Finbar, not just with the established players, with the younger players, getting time against these more established senior clubs?
Yeah, today, look, we had a couple of under-16 girls who played yesterday, under-16 last night at 8 o'clock. So, look, that's the way it is. But look, they've put their hands up. We've just got to keep loading them, and that's what you got to do. And the only way they learn is by playing. That's where they'll get their experience.
Today's game, Raida Driscoll stood out, got all your scores, but her movement and her scoring, when the other forwards that would line up alongside her come back, she's going to be a very important player for this year.
Yeah, it is, like, I mean, but look, that's what you need. You just can't rely on one player, because opposition is very easy to close down. You need quality forwards inside. You need probably two or three good scores and two or three players who'll do the work rate as well. So that's what we'd be looking for, and that's kind of a panel we'd be hoping to build on.
Home partner is the West Cork Championship coming up. Just get you a couple of competitive games at minimum out of that.
Hugely, we treat that West Cork Championship with huge respect. It's a fantastic competition, and fair play to the board for putting it on. Look, you're playing quality teams, like, I mean, you have the Kinsales, Roscarbery, all these teams, you know, in it, and we treat it with huge respect, and Clonakilty as well, like, I mean, you know, so that's the way we treat it. We'll use it as another, maybe, you know, we take it one game at a time. You might get two games out of it, and if we do, so be it. If not, we go back and just concentrate in Championship then for the coming year.
Thanks, buddy.
You are very welcome back for the second half of the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you, and in case you were wondering, it is still 1-0 to Slovakia in that last 16 game against England. They're about 71 minutes into that game now, and the reinforcements have been brought on in a couple of cases for both sides. England did have a goal disallowed due to offside from Phil Foden. And so, I mean, it would be a big, big result if England were to be knocked out at this stage. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. I'll try and get you a final result from that game before I finish up here this evening. But there was other drama today, and it was in the form of the Austrian Grand Prix. I mentioned during the roundup earlier on at the top of the show that it was a surprise first win of the season for Mercedes and for George Russell, and it was because we saw glimpses of 2021 Max Verstappen behaviour late on in that race. And I'm pretty sure even the most enthusiastic of Mercedes fans did not have a win at the Austrian Grand Prix on their bingo card. But if they did, fair play to them, because that is exactly what happened. And there was nothing early on really to suggest that things were going to go that way. The start wasn't too chaotic. You would have to say the biggest loser from it was the unfortunate Ferrari of Charles Leclerc, who found himself sandwiched really between Piastri and Perez. And it was ultimately a racing incident at the first corner, but nonetheless, it led to Leclerc having to pit at the end of lap one. And he was 40 seconds off the lead already by lap four. At which point, for most other people, things had pretty much settled down. The first round of pit stops didn't make a huge impact. And as we carried on towards lap 30, Verstappen then seemed to be managing an issue to do with gear efficiency after making his first pit stop. And we've not seen it for a while because of Red Bull's long-standing dominance, but he does feel the pressure, or seems to feel the pressure. Certainly you can hear it in the difference in his communications with his race engineer pretty quickly as soon as he's under pressure or dealing with an issue. And it's very interesting to see that come back out, because of course by the end of the race, you know, the situation was that Lando Norris was just a second behind Verstappen. And as we know, McLaren have been on an absolute charge over the last couple of Grand Prix and looked to have the pace. Norris certainly looked to have the pace against Verstappen, and they had some fantastic scraps initially, and then it just turned sour. And on lap 64, Max Verstappen and Lando Norris effectively, it looked initially as if they had taken each other out. It seems now that Max Verstappen was at fault and he did receive a penalty afterwards. But at the end of the day, it was the end of Lando Norris's race, whereas Verstappen was able to come back out and rejoin and finish in a point scoring position. George Russell, of course, was the main benefactor of all of this. He was 10 seconds back in P3 when Verstappen and Norris were having their battle on track, and he just absolutely cruised up and took that lead. And look, you have to be ready to take those opportunities when they're presented to you. Toto Wolff came over the radio extremely overexcited, telling George that he had the opportunity to win, to which George said, "Please let me drive and don't interrupt me when I'm in my braking zone," was the undertone. Wolff said afterwards that it was the dumbest thing he's ever done at Mercedes, which was maybe an overreaction, but I think just goes to show how much any sort of positive result means for that team at this stage. Norris understandably was very peeved and not happy with Verstappen afterwards. Interestingly, I have to mention as well, things at Alpine, we spoke about them last weekend, they're certainly not rosy in the garden, are they? Gasly and Ocon were scrapping in close quarters again around lap 33, bearing in mind they were both outside of point scoring positions. They were in P12 and P13, and some of Ocon's behaviour would appear to suggest that he's kind of already over it, isn't too concerned about keeping his relationships positive within the team. Certainly not with his teammate anyway, at any rate, who announced during the week that he had re-signed with the French team, so his immediate future in F1 is secure at least, whereas Ocon still does not, as far as we are aware, have a seat for next year and beyond. But with that result, Mercedes became the fourth different constructor to win a Grand Prix this season, and it may have been a surprise, but the fact that we've even got that level of variety within the teams who are winning and indeed earning themselves podium spots in 2024 has been more and more encouraging as the season has gone on. So we can only hope beyond hope that will continue, particularly after Red Bull do bring their upgrades, which are incoming. Silverstone is the next race on the calendar, which rounds out the European triple header that we're currently in the middle of, and I have no doubt that all of the teams will be extremely grateful for that little break between the British Grand Prix and the Hungarian Grand Prix, which comes down the line 2 weeks later. But next up, we're going to be talking soccer, because I have been chatting with Steve Mulcahy from the Cork Women and Schoolgirls Soccer League all about their development plan for 2023 to 2028, where they are so far, and their very exciting plan for their Centre of Excellence. Let's hear that conversation now. I know by Steve Mulcahy from the Cork Women's and Schoolgirls Soccer League. Steve, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you keeping?
I'm not too bad, Sarah. No, thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to chat about the CWSSL development plan for 2023 to 28, which of course you're in the second year of now, because it was really interesting to see the top of the list of aims for that plan was to grow female soccer participation rates in Cork by 25%, including a Football for All Girls programme. 25% to me seems like quite a large number, but can you maybe just tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I suppose we've probably nearly reached that target as it is anyway, and always expecting a year-on-year growth, as a lot of clubs that were principally just boys only or maiden only now understand the necessity for girls as being part of their teams and their clubs, and also on a practical level, for any funding or applications, they have to show both a female and male participation in their club. So it the growth has grown out of a need, and also a practical a want for it to grow the girls' game, and they just, there's a demand for it, so they have to meet that demand as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think the success of the Ireland women's team, and even more locally, you know, the players that are clearly coming through from underage to the Cork City team as well, do you think that plays a part in kind of inspiring younger girls to get into the sport?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, you now hear, like, the girls, their role models are female players from the Irish women's team. So that wouldn't have happened 10, even maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Unless girls were seriously interested in the soccer, it was always going to be a male role model, and Messi and Ronaldo and the likes. And now you are getting both the national, like, you know, like Denise and you know, Katie McCabe, and they're always, the names are at the forefront of every kid's mouth when they say something about it here in Cork. And also, as I said, the growth of the National League teams, and especially for us here in Cork, having the currently underage option of two in, you know, with Cove Ramblers and Cork City.
Yes.
It's great for the girls seeing the pathway and the options that they have available to them.
Yeah, and how important, I suppose, is that underage pipeline to feed it into the senior teams? Like you said, they're just showing them that it doesn't have to be, you know, just at that club level. They can even go further with it.
Yeah, and then they see it, and with the advent, all the competitions that are held now with interleagues and girls playing at a higher level against other counties, and you know, as it builds towards the Gainer, and then they get picked for National League squads and Irish underage squads, they see that, you know, they have a goal, and you know, they want to get there. Like everybody, they have a dream that they want to, you know, play at that level and play for Ireland. And it just gives them so much to look forward to.
It was good as well in that development plan to see a specific call out in terms of finding solutions to keep teenagers in the game, because there's a lot of attention being paid to that at the moment, and rightly so, campaigns like Stop the Drop and so on. Can you, I suppose, share some of the thoughts and the plans that have been going on within your group to help with that effort?
Well, firstly, I suppose we can see the drop off in numbers, or we had seen it, you know, especially going from, you know, after 16 years of age up to, you know, getting into the ladies thing. So firstly, we made the ages available that we saw would benefit all the kids, you know. So we added, you know, we've under 16s, under 17s, under 19s, and then we have the women's game, then that they're available. As well as that, then we set up a subcommittee to investigate and come up with ideas to keep, and a lot of that is based around our league and what we can do to help the clubs and help the girls themselves if they've any issues with staying in the game, you know. And we try to address those before, as I said, always having a long-term plan, looking to see, you know, what might be a way forward, and, you know, whether it's facilities or just support, or, you know, advertising and showing that, look, it's okay to keep playing, you know what I mean? It's not something you need to stop no matter what's going on.
Yeah, brilliant. And you mentioned it there, but there was a centre of excellence specifically, I suppose, in the plans as well, to include things like, obviously, pitches, dressing rooms, meeting rooms, etc. And I know the facilities can often be an issue, and unfortunately, particularly for women's teams, that can happen even at the very highest level. Where are you, kind of, what's the latest with the Centre of Excellence? And I suppose, tell us about the positive impact that you're hoping it will have.
Yeah, so I suppose about a year ago, we were there and we were thinking about myself and Sean Murphy, our secretary, and we were saying, you know, we had grown so much, and we spend half our time, Helen Noonan goes around running around looking, asking clubs, can we use their Astro, especially, yeah. You know, because you can't guarantee the grass conditions, even in summer these days. So we spend our time, you know, a lot of time and money goes into renting Astros, if you can even get them. So we said, look, what's the way forward? Maybe it's time for us to look at developing our own area where we can, you know, so we can say, well, yes, we can definitely run this and definitely run that. And in all that thought, then we said, look, I went to both the council, both the city and the county council, and we put out a few feelers, and it came back to us then that, you know, Casement Celtic out the straight road were, you know, had a lot of ground that was a bit underused. So we met up with them and mooted the idea to them, and you know, we said, like, our plan was to build a full-size Astro that could, you know, host underage international games up as far as that level, and also then develop the grass pitches, parking facilities, dressing rooms, and go from there, you know, and keep growing it and keep growing it to make it a huge centre for girls and women's soccer in Cork. And not just for us and the schoolgirls soccer, but like, and for any other organizations. I mean, we approached others, like, you know, the Special Olympics Committee, our people, and there's some GA clubs below us and things like that, you know, to say that facility would be there for a lot more to use. So thankfully we that went forward, and we got the blessing of the old city council, and Stephen Scully has been great to us down inside there, and Sean Martin, and we got a lot done, and we set up a company, documents signed, everything like that is done, we got the full planning is done. So yeah, we're just up to a stage, and always the elephant in the room is always money, so we're hoping to get the full maximum grant from the capital grants due out in, you know, another couple of months, and we're fingers crossed for that. So that's the big money that we would hope to get. Alongside that, then we have fundraising committee, and we set up different things, and we run some car draw, which is ongoing. And we general fundraising, everything we do, and levying, the clubs paying, and everyone's supportive of what we're trying to do, you know.
Brilliant. Excellent stuff. Well, that sounds very promising. As you say, the elephant in the room is always money, but I think certainly if folks can get behind it, it's a fantastic, you know, goal to work towards. I think it would have a huge impact, definitely, on the local and even the national level of things, as you said. I want to make sure that folks have a chance to find out where, if they want more information or anything like that on the league, where is the best place for them to go for that?
So yeah, we have a Facebook page for both our league, Cork Women's Soccer, and also then we have a separate page for the Cork and Schoolgirls Soccer Centre. And they're both on Facebook. We have our website, cwssl.ie. And look, everyone knows us. We're growing so much, and like, people see us around. Like, we're running a lot of league centres for the girls and trials for Cork teams and things like that. So, you know, we're always approachable from both corporate and local people to, you know, help with this development. And look, we'd be delighted to have any support, both professionally in because it is a big deal to get these things done, and financially, you know. So we would, any support at all would be delighted. They can contact me directly if they want to as well, so there's no problem there.
Brilliant. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining me here on the Big Red Bench, and very best of luck with all the future.
Thank you very much indeed.
And we're going to finish up with some MMA now, because there's a group of young fighters from Cork City who are fundraising to help with the cost of sending them to a huge international tournament that is coming up. The fighters are from SBG in Cork, and they've been selected on the Irish Youth MMA team for the IMMAF World Championships, which are being held in Abu Dhabi in August. And Rory has been speaking to them about their history with the sport, their fundraising efforts, and lots more.
All right, now on the Big Red Bench, delighted to be joined by members of SGB Cork City who are on the road to Abu Dhabi to represent Ireland in the World Youth MMA Championships. First off, guys, I'm going to get you all to introduce yourselves. Who might start there? Who wants to go first?
I'm Edge.
My name's David Martinkus.
I'm Tia.
I'm Matthew O'Donoghue.
My name's Angie.
I'm Jack Connolly.
My name is Alan Kazor.
And I'm Katie Cowan.
Guys, it's lovely to meet you all. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on the Big Red Bench. First off, guys, can you tell us, I suppose, a little bit about the World Championships and, I suppose, how you've gotten there?
So you have to go to like squad sessions up in Dublin each week, and you have to do like the national championships and European championships and stuff.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Guys, can I ask you, I suppose it's a question for all of you, how did you get started in MMA, and I suppose why do you continue to compete in MMA?
Well, I started judo when I was 6, because I was like around gyms watching my brother train and everything, and I just fell in love with the sport and everything from there. And when the gyms closed for COVID, I joined SPG Cork and I started training MMA and everything, and I just fell in love straight away, and I just kept it up from there.
Check.
I started kickboxing when I was around 7 and just kept training. When I was younger, I tried every other sport like soccer, hurling, all that. Didn't really like them, got into fighting, instantly fell in love as well, and just stuck with it, hoping to make a career out of it.
I kind of started jiu-jitsu when I was kind of 8 or 9, when I came from taekwondo. And I just did jiu-jitsu and I kind of fell in love with it pretty much. I was kind of balancing it with soccer, rugby and GA, but eventually those kind of fell out, and then I kind of took to MMA then kind of last year. And that's all I've been doing since. I've just been loving it, really.
I used to play a lot of team sports, but they told me to have too rough, so my mom signed me up for them.
I didn't really do any sports. I wasn't really sporty at all. I didn't like any sports, but I started a summer camp in SPG, and then I just kind of went on from there. I didn't really want to do it, but I kind of just forced myself to do it. And then when I started getting good, I started liking it. So
I was playing soccer and rugby when I was from about 4 years old to maybe 7. I ended up getting my appendix out. I was stuck in hospital for about 2 months with a temperature. My dad made me quit all the sports. And once I got out of the hospital, he's like, what you want to do? And I was very into like Jackie Chan, watching all those movies. So I pulled him on to the fight. And now I'm here. Ended up fighting for a couple of years.
I started because my dad just saw us watch the UFC. I just watch it with him. And then I found SPG Park when I was 13. So I started kickboxing, and then eventually I went to the wrestling and jiu-jitsu.
Fantastic stuff, guys. Fantastic stuff. I know a couple of you guys have represented Ireland before at the World Championships. What did it mean to you guys to, I suppose, represent your country on the biggest stage of them all?
Well, it was a real honour, to be honest. And especially when you, like, win and you get to be up on the podium with, like, the flag around you and you hear the national anthem. It's really just nice to see all your, like, hard work finally pay off and your dreams come true, really.
People, I suppose, don't realise the effort and the sacrifices that goes into being a fighter. So how hard do you guys train, and I suppose what's your average training week like?
We usually train about 2 times a day, 6 days a week, I'd say. And involves with training condition and everything else with MMA.
Yeah, no, it'd be about 6 days a week of gym training. And since, you know, when you are with the Irish national team, we have to go up to Dublin every Sunday for the next 5 weeks now. It used to be once a month maybe, but now that we're preparing for Worlds, you know, it's important. We're going up every single week to Dublin at about 7 a.m, training from 11 to 1. You know, get to experience what the Irish coaches, you know, have to offer. Have to teach us.
It's a huge commitment. Like, we have, like, all of our lives are centered around training and, like, getting better. And it's an opportunity that we have to do this. And the, like, the things we're given, like, the opportunity to train at SPG, to have the classes that we have access to, and just, like, and the squad sessions, like, the fact that we have access to the best around Ireland and we can train with them and prepare is just a good opportunity.
So basically, guys, it's like a full-time job, essentially, or like training six days a week, twice a day. It sounds fairly intense. To get to Abu Dhabi, guys, you need to raise a lot of money. Is it frustrating, I suppose, that MMA isn't supported in the way other sports are with funding and so on?
Yeah, definitely is, just purely because the government doesn't see it as kind of like a proper sport, I suppose. So it's all just kind of down to the hard work of the fighters themselves and the parents. So much work was on kind of behind the scenes, really just kind of like fundraising and making money in any way possible just to try and kind of like help us kind of like achieve our dreams pretty much, really. So it is quite difficult to kind of like do it all yourself. But we're working hard and kind of trying to make as much money as we possibly can to help us build on our dreams pretty much.
Yeah. So what are you guys doing now to fundraise? Because it's obviously not cheap to get to Abu Dhabi. I think there's a 10,000 euro target on your GoFundMe page. What are you guys doing to, I suppose, fundraise and get to that target?
We're planning on doing backpacking in Super Valley and Ballingolly just to raise a bit of money, help people out. Hopefully we'll be able to get some support from the community. And we did a quiz night in O'Neill's in Middleton last week and raised a good bit of money off that as well. And had a good turnout. It was very good.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see it. So, like, we're not too far away, I suppose, from the World Championships. I mean, like, what's the plan now over the next while before you get to Abu Dhabi? And I suppose, what's the training routine going to be like? I'd imagine it's going to even ramp up even further, is it?
Yeah, it's probably going to, like, start picking up now. As Dav was saying, we're going up kind of every weekend, really, to go to squad training, which is kind of a big commitment. Going up kind of every Sunday, kind of 7 in the morning to train for 2 hours. And but then just even in SPG Cork, then during the week, we'd be kind of training almost every day, twice a day, and just kind of bring each other on just to try and kind of like reach our potential for the Worlds and get the best out of it that we can.
For those of you guys who are going to the Worlds for the first time, what would it mean to represent not just Ireland, but the Cork and your gym and your families on the biggest stage of them all?
I think me and Anjay are the kind of two people that are the first time going over. But personally for myself, it's just I couldn't really believe it when I kind of found out that I got picked for the team. And I was just really grateful for the opportunity and for everything that my teammates have been doing for me, really, and just kind of bringing me on. And it's all down to them as well, and just kind of like hard work, really. But yeah, it does mean a lot to kind of like see yourself kind of going up as an international, kind of representing our country on the international stage.
Yeah, same with me. It's like it's a massive honor because, like, a lot of people don't get this opportunity and like this chance to represent their own country in like a massive competition. So like, it's really like such an honor to represent Ireland in MMA.
And guys, what's it like, I suppose, training in SPG? You've got some incredible coaches there, like Salimo Griffin and Marlene, who looks after all of you like the mother hen that she is. What's it like training in SPG Cork?
Fantastic. It's like I've trained in multiple gyms like since I was younger, and like moving from kickboxing to boxing, like there hasn't been like a family kind of feeling like there is in SPG. Like I haven't felt like included like I was here. Like, as soon as I came here, I was included into the family, and I just felt that straight away.
Excellent stuff, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks very much for joining us on Red FM. Very, very best of luck with your fundraising. And look, it's a couple of months away before Abu Dhabi. I'm sure I'll talk to you in a bit more depth before then. But for the meantime, guys, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Great stuff from the SPG team there. And as Rory mentioned, they are running a GoFundMe at the moment to help them get to that World Champs in Abu Dhabi. If you want to donate, you can find their page by searching SBG Cork on GoFundMe and it should pop up for you. 90+5, St Jude has come to the rescue of England yet again. Looks like Slovakia are going to have to find a way to grind this one out. But that is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thank you, as always, for tuning into the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. Have a lovely rest of your Sunday and stay tuned for Green on Red up next.